Miss Ruth, my heart also goes out to you this morning. Brother Gary was a special friend to me. He had a great impact on my life. And as I sat here and was reminded of that, I wonder, are we today where Gary would want us to be? It's not we answer to God, but of course, but you know, he had a passion, he had a vision, he had a goal for the congregation here. Where he would be blessed to see us today. This morning, as I share, when I was asked to come, I thought about it a bit before I did, because I'm getting older. And then I said, God, if you want me to speak there, give me something to share that would be a benefit, would be encouragement to the congregation. Something that would be uplifting and that we together can grow in God's Word. And I've spent about the last probably 5 or 6 weeks, maybe longer than that, basically in John, in the first, second, and third book of John, sometimes in the fourth book, going through and looking at the letter that John, when I refer to that like John wrote, we know it was inspired by God. God inspired John to write it. So it was a letter from God, but written through John, by John, to us. And so I want to share a bit out of that this morning, some of my thoughts. And as I got older, you know, when I was younger, I'd take one portion of Scripture and just pound on that and go from there. But as I get older, I reflect a bit more on life and on people, and I don't have all the answers. I still have lots of questions, and I'll probably leave you with some questions here this morning. But one of the questions that I've been thinking about and wondering is, what is it that causes what is it that makes people today, we see so much of it, seeming like they're not completely content with their spiritual life. Now, we should never be completely content with our spiritual life. What I'm talking about is, what is it that's motivating people to want to find something more exciting, more emotional, more enthusiastic? Is there something there? You know, y'all know what we're talking about. We see more and more of that without the churches. People seem like they're searching, they're looking for something. A few weeks ago, the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes magazine, came to our place. And as I was paging through it, they have 4 points that they teach the athletes when they're teaching them about the Christian life. There's 4 points they teach them. And the first one is that we are a sinner. I'm a sinner. The second one is that God loves me. I'm a sinner. God loves me. And God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for my sin. So we believe that, we accept that, and the fourth point is, now we walk in faith believing that. And the more I thought about it, I thought, how simple is that, but how profound is that? And is the fourth point the point that we have a problem with? Simply walking in faith and believing that now I am saved, I've been born again. I have a relationship with God. Do we doubt that? Is there some doubt within our lives that causes us to be looking for something different, more deeper, for farther? Of course, like I said, we always want to be growing in our Christian life. That's not my point. That's not what I was saying. But so then we come to 1 John. If you have your Bibles, I don't know where we're going to really end up here. I'd like to kind of do an overview of this this letter that was written to the church here today. But John seems to recognize that these are some of the areas that we struggle with in life, security in our spiritual security. You know, we know that emotional insecurity is basically the root cause of alcohol, drugs, and many times suicide. It's emotional insecurity is the root cause of that. So would it be some spiritual insecurity that would motivate people to be looking for something more and beyond what experience they have? And I hope I'm not confusing you this morning as we go through this, because we always want to be growing in our spiritual life. We want to look at something deeper. But are we really content? Do we really understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? And are we walking in faith? We talk a lot about faith, but are we content to truly walking in faith, believing that I was a sinner, God loves me, God sent His Son Jesus to die for my sin, now I accept that and I walk in faith, trusting God and believing in that. Before we go to this, I want to go back to I want to go to Revelation, a scripture there. I want to read in chapter 12. Here we have sort of an interesting story. There was a woman who was with child, and there was a demon that was trying to make war, a dragon. But I would like to read here. I'm going to read in verse 7. And I'm reading Revelation 12. It's just this a few verses here. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Just tuck that away in your mind. He was the accuser of the brethren, and he accused them before God, he says, day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now, John wrote this after he wrote the epistles there. But because of the vision that he saw. And he said that the accuser of the brethren was there, and they overcame him by their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and because they didn't love their lives unto death. Now we're going to just tuck them away as we go back into John, as he wrote before. But then he goes on and says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. This might be set the setting a little bit of why we face some of the things that we face in life about our relationship with God. Remember, he's accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse you and to cause you to doubt your salvation. Now, go to 1 John. I'm going to read the first, the complete chapter of 1 John chapter 1. And then we'll go from there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. I want you to catch the emotion here that John is writing. When he starts out this letter, he said, I saw something. I walked with someone. I was there with them. And I want you to catch this. I want you to get a hold of what it is that I want to tell you about. And he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You get the excitement here. You know, so often we just jerk out our little phone, you know, I want to show you these pictures. I want you to see what I saw. I want you to get a hold of this. And that's the way John starts out here. I want you to be able to have fellowship, to enjoy the things that I enjoy, that I saw, that I walked with. And then he says, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And to me, this verse right here is the foundation verse of everything that John writes in the rest of the first epistle here. I'm writing these things so that you can have full joy. You know, if you don't really have full joy, really convinced in your walk with God that Jesus Christ died for your sin, that you're born again, and you walk in faith, you are going to live with God someday. If you aren't really convinced of that, you don't really have full joy. You're just not that. Think about a salesman who uses a product and he knows it actually works. He's not just giving you a line. He believes in it. He's a much better salesman than someone that's just selling it so he can make money. Because he has seen the product, or he or she, they believe in it. It's actually worked for them. And so John wants us to know that we can know that we can know that we are in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have a relationship with Him. And it seems like not a lot has changed from then to now that people sometimes question. In my ministry, in dealing with people, as people would come to the altar or have things they want to share with, the one thing that the thing that we dealt with the most was insecurity in their relationship with God. Many times people would come to the altar and they'd, you would pray for them. What do you want? Why are you here? What did God speak to you about? I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure if I'm saved. What brings that on? Where did that come from? You might look at that a bit. Let me read on. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So now John's beginning to tell us who God is and about this God that he knows about. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. We understand that, don't we? It doesn't mix. God is light. He's not darkness. No part of it. And he says, we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. So now here's where it's getting, where the accuser of our brethren, the accuser of the brethren, begin to start getting some inroads. If God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all, and if we say that we are walking in light, and if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, we so often were brought up, or many of us were, put it that way, that God is light and Him is no darkness at all. We need to carry out the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ of God, and that's what we want to do and intend to do, but we make mistakes. I can remember as a boy, you know, there were things would come along, and I would do something that I didn't really intend to do, but I had done it, and then immediately it was like, well, I must not be a Christian if I did that. Have any of you ever faced that? Have those thoughts ever come? Well, I must not be a Christian, or maybe I'm not living close enough to God. Well, we live on this earth, and we make mistakes. But God is light, and Him is no darkness at all. We understand that. So so often, you know, the questions come. What is my relationship with God? If I'm wanting to be a Christian, I'm wanting to serve Him, I want to do that, but then I find myself making some mistakes in my life. Well, John says he wants us to be able to know we have a relationship with God, and that we have joy in our heart, and that we walk in faith, trusting and believing in Him. Now in verse 7 he says that we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. And if you go back and you look into the concordance, that word from all sin could be translated very easily to all unintentional sin. Missing the mark is the way the Strong's concordance brings it out. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unintentional sin. Sin that we didn't intend to do. It wasn't in our mind. It's not what we wanted to thought. Have any of you ever gone through life or gone through a day And I'll speak to the men here, but you know, you're busy. There's a lot of things happening, a lot of things going on, and you get a phone call or you get this person that that you meet on the job or somewhere, and they're agitated, and the next thing you know, you're agitated, and maybe you said a little something or your attitude wasn't quite right like it should have been, and at the end of the day, you reflect back on it and you say, well, that wasn't a Christ-like attitude. I didn't respond like I should have. Did you lose your relationship with God at that point? Would have you gone to hell if you had died right at that point? No, you would not have. Because it says that we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship, we have relationship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unintentional sin. That's the propitiation that we have over here that that John was writing about. We have this relationship with God. You see, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, you see, that light could also be looked at as truth from God's Word. If we walk in the truth and the understanding that we have of God's Word, we have a relationship with God. Not everybody has that same light. You know, there are people who come to Christ, they know very little about the Scriptures, but they just know that they were a sinner, that they needed a Savior, God loved them, He died for their sins, and now they have faith in believing that. And God accepts them. They have a relationship with God. They are a child of God. They're heir to the promises of God. Now you may look at their life and say, well, they know so little. There's so many things that they're doing yet that are not according to God's Word. There's so many things that they don't understand. But they're walking in the light. They're walking in the truth. They're walking in the knowledge that they have of God. They'll continue to grow. God will continue to give them more knowledge and more truth. But at this point, they're walking in that. The question for us today, are we walking in the truth that we have? Are we walking in the knowledge of God that God has given to us? That's all He requires, is that we walk in the understanding that we have of Him at this point. As God reveals more of His truth in us, He expects more from us. But it doesn't have anything to do with our relationship now. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have a relationship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all missing the mark sin. You see, there's a big difference in missing a mark sin and an intentional sin. We're going to look at that just in a little bit here, an intentional sin. Missing the mark is, you see, any good marksman, any good person has, some of you are very good with bow and arrows, I'm sure, but once in a while you are going to miss. I think you will. But that doesn't mean that you're not a good archer. You practice, you work at it. That's your intent, is to hit the mark. You know, if I shot an arrow, it probably couldn't even hit the barn, but because I'm not an archer. But if you're a good archer, occasionally you will miss. Does that mean that you're not a good archer? No, Jesus, God is saying here, or John is writing, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from unintentional sin. And I think that's one of the things that some of us have struggled with in our background, is we make mistakes. Though we make mistakes, are we not Christians? When John wrote here, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we recognize that, well, that was darkness. What happens? But at that point, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unintentional sin. We're walking in light. Because He says, my children, these things write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have an intercessor. Someone that goes to the Father for us, and says, no, this is a child of God. He's under the blood. My blood was shed for his sin. He is one of us. We have an advocate. That's what an advocate is. And he says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We can have a relationship. We can have joy in our heart. We can know that we're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when we walk in the light and the truth that He has given to us. Now, as we go on through now, let's turn over to... it's going to be hard to go through John here, but I just want to look at some high points. Um, Okay, as we will establish that we have a relationship with God through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for our sin, and we have an advocate, the Father, and we can know. John says you can know that you have a relationship with Him. So, God, I'm a sinner. God loves me. God loves me enough. He sent Jesus to die for my sin. Now I am to walk in faith. Now, John also puts some check marks or some checkpoints in our life as we go on. So we just say that we have received Jesus Christ and now we can walk any way we want to walk. We can travel any way we want to travel. No. John, as he goes through here, he said, now there's some things, if you're a child of God, that you can check yourself with. And he starts right out in verse 9, we're in chapter 2 now. And he says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. We're not going to have time to go through all five chapters here. But over and over and over, he talks about the relationship that we have with one another, whether we love our brother or not. You know, and this is a check mark. As I was studying here and looking, as I've been going through John, one of the things that came to my mind was, if you take instructions to become a pilot, it used to be, I don't know if it's still this way or not, but somewhere along you had to take your check ride by yourself. And so what you would have to do is you'd have to get the map out, and your instructor would tell you what cities he wanted you to fly to, and you had to fly from this one to that one to that one to that one and back home again. And so you had to do that on your own. And so you would have to get the map out, and you'd have to find the degrees from here to here. And you could trust the map because degrees don't change. They're the same. That's nature. God set it up that way. North is north and south is south. So you could trust the map. And so you set your degrees. You might have to make a few variations if the wind was blowing or something. And then you started out going from this point to this point. But a wise person, an instructor, would tell you now you need to have some checkpoints along the way. Even though you trust the map, the map is there, and you need to have some checkpoints that periodically you can look and see and know that you're still on the right path, the right degrees that you're supposed to be going on. And I remember going along, and you know, it's you're flying for 20 minutes, and you're supposed to be coming to this checkpoint just to assure yourself that you're on that road. I mean, you're on that path, and so then you begin to doubt yourself. You begin to, I don't see it, and it's time. And then suddenly you would see the railroad crossing or power line or something that you had picked out for a checkpoint. And then you're, okay, we're on the right path. We're still true to our course. And another so often we're going to see the city. And so you had set some checkpoints along the way. And it seemed like when John was writing here, first off, he wants to assure us of our relationship with God. Through Jesus Christ, we have an intercessor, and we do make mistakes on this life. We will make mistakes as long as we're on this earth. I'm not advocating them, and I'm not minimizing the power of the Holy Spirit. But we do fail. We make mistakes. John says, "I'm writing these things that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate. We have someone there." Interceding for us so that we can walk in peace, so we can have confidence towards God. If you're not sure of your salvation, you're not going to be a good advocate for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're not going to be one that's really excited about your spiritual life if you're not really sure yourself. So John wrote that he wants us to be sure, he wants us to be confident of our relationship with God. Then he says we have these checkpoints, and the first one that he talks about is our relationship to one another. And he's talking to the church. He says that he that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth. This is what impressed me so much and challenged me as I looked at John's writing here and his relationship, us having full joy in our heart, is our relationship to one another within the church. And he says that we are to love one another. And I thought about that. There's some people that have been in my life that I have looked up to because they have shown love, true Christian love, in the midst of a lot of controversy. People that I know that may not even look at things exactly like I would look at them, but they still show love to me and to others around them. And if we're not going to have time to go through all that John talks about love, but he says, if you want to know that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're one of His children, and you call yourself a son of God, one of the checkpoints is, what is your relationship to people out around you? And I don't like to bring politics in, but Miss Pelosi, she was asked last week, does she hate Donald Trump? And she immediately said, no, I'm Catholic, and I'm taught that I love everybody. And I chuckled when I saw that and when I read that and saw her expression. But then I thought, well, now how about ourselves? Are there people in our life that, no, we're Christians, we love them, but does your life show it? You know, it's a checkpoint. Can you think of someone this morning that, you know, you really don't love them? Well, you say, well, I wouldn't say that I love them, but I don't hate them. Well, I don't read here that there's anything in between those two. He just says, if you love them, if we're Christians, we love them. Let me read it again so we get it in our mind. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is true in Him, and because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I don't see anything in between the two. Now, I know that there's people that you appreciate more than others at times, but how quickly are we to say, no, I don't hate them, I just don't want to be around them, or I just don't think much of them, or I just don't get along with them? And this is the one checkpoint that John writes about over and over and over again throughout all the chapters here, all five chapters. He refers to this. He picks it right back up again in a later chapter. Yes, but if you say that you are a child of God, how's your relationship with your brothers around you? And I believe, because I've seen people that have shown this to me, that there is a way that you can show love to people that even maybe are people that are hard to love or hard to appreciate or differ from you or maybe have attitudes towards you. But there's a way that you can show a godly love to them. You don't have to embrace everything they're doing. But are we as quick as Mrs. Pelosi was to say, no, I'm Catholic, I've taught to love everybody? Say, no, I'm a Christian, I love them. But do the people know that you actually care for them? You see, there's a spirit connection. People know when you actually appreciate them or whether you don't, or whether you show godly love to them or not. And maybe it's a checkpoint, and it was for me as I was studying through John. Are there people out there that I just don't have anything to do with them? But can I show love to them? And John says, this is a checkpoint. This is the way that we know that we have a relationship with God and through the Lord Jesus Christ, if we love our brethren. If there's people around us that we hate, then he says that's a checkpoint. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. If you can If you can bring yourself to showing love, godly love, to people that are unkind to you, he said there's not an occasion of stumbling in you. There's a strength, there's a power there that you have that's beyond any other power when you can actually show love to people who are unkind and unlovely to you. He said there's not an occasion of stumbling. In other words, you are going to walk right when you do that. But to say that we love God, to say that we love the church, that we love people around us, but then to show unkindness or love to someone else is a checkpoint that we need. And then another, and we come on down through, we're going to go very rapidly here, another checkpoint we have in verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here's another checkpoint. What's our relationship towards God or towards the world? He says that we can't love the world and love God. There's a checkpoint. And so what is motivating us? What is driving us? And, you know, I know this is probably one of the most difficult countries to live in, is here in America, where we have so many material things around us. But what motivates us? When we get up tomorrow morning, when we go to our jobs, or we go to our schools, or whatever we're doing, whatever God's calling us to, what is number one in our life? Is it to live a righteous, godly life, to show love and kindness to people around us? Or is it all about our business, all about the worldly things? He said, the world passes away and the lust thereof. I try to reflect back a little bit on, things that were in the past and how they have passed, how they have passed away and they've moved on. How many of you are just dying, you ladies, just dying to get an avocado or a Harvest Gold tub in your house? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're not back there. But there was a point, there was a time when people were tearing out their good ceramic bathrooms and putting in an avocado tub because that was the end thing. And a stool and everything to go with it. Avocado, can you imagine that? This old dirty green, there's someone here with a shirt similar to that, but I'm not going to point him out. But that's the way the tub looked, you know. And, you know, it was the end thing. It was just what was driving people to have something like that. Well, see, it's passed away. It's not a big thing. It's gone. It was immaterial. But at one point, one time, it was important to be with the crowd. Another picture I got, as a young person, you know, if you wanted to go off and you wanted to really be cool, you had a new pair of jeans. They had to be new. And you roll them up at the pants leg, about 6-7 inches. And you had on white socks and black slip-on patent leather shoes, you know. Sideburns down about right here. And then you got your hair about as long as you was allowed to have it. And then you greased it down with Brio cream and you slicked it back, you know. We had a boy in school that no reflection on him, but he couldn't afford it. He used lard to slick it back. And see, then you had your short sleeve shirts, and you rolled them up about an inch or two right here, yet. And you were cool, man. Bryson, that's cool. I'm telling you, it was. And then your car, you'd have a 54 or 55, something like that, and you had fender skirts on it, you know, in the back, and it kind of weighted down a little bit. And then you ride around the Tasty Freeze, you know, with your finger kind of tucked inside there, that little vent. And you were just cool. Y'all were laughing, but that was cool, man. You'd almost do wrong things just to be able to have that and to be like that. But you see, that would drive young people. That just like things drive young people today. But I'm not just talking about young people, but older people too. There's things out here in the world that drive people, you know, and so that's a checkpoint. John is writing here. He said, don't love the things of the world. Don't make that your allegiance. Because those things will pass away. But the things of God will last. And how quickly they pass away. And you'll look back and think how foolish some of those things were, as I do now. You know, but it can drive people. And that's just a minor thing. I think he's talking about much deeper things. You know, is the world, is this world that we live in, is that what's driving you and motivating you, or and the people in the world, or is your allegiance to God? I want to serve God in spite of the world, in spite of the pressures that are out there, in spite of having to stand up and take a stand for the things that would be contrary to political correctness, as we would call them today. And then he goes on, and the next one he talks about is false doctrine, false teaching that come on. And there is false things around us, but I want you to notice what he says in John. Let's begin to read in chapter 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. This unction he's talking about, you have an infilling of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit within you, and that is also a checkpoint in your life. If you truly want to serve God, and you're a child of God, and you're one of His children, the Holy Spirit is there within you. It's there with you, and it will direct you and guide you in your life. In verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath been taught you, you shall abide in him. He's saying that, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm just not sure if I should do this or if I shouldn't do that. That's why God has, when Jesus left this earth, He gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will remind you of the truth of God's Word. And He says you really don't have to have anybody teaching you all these things out there. I'm not against teachers. That's not what I'm saying this morning. But He says you have the Holy Spirit. When something comes up in your life, if we would be totally honest with ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, will you teach me? Will you guide me? Is this something I should be doing, or is it something I should not be doing? That He says the Holy Spirit will direct you based upon the Word of God. And a lot of too often we want to question that, and we're looking for someone else to say, yeah, I think it'll be all right. And He says, you don't need someone else to teach you because you have the Holy Spirit within you. Now again, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get advice and counsel from people. That's not what I'm saying. But many times, it's a checkpoint. The Holy Spirit will not guide you unto untruth. The Holy Spirit will guide you into truth. But so often, we don't want to be honest with the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be open to it ourselves. We want to do the things that we want to do. So it's a checkpoint that we have, that has been given to us. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence. Numerous times throughout the epistles here, John is writing, he wants us to have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, and you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of Him. Now we're going to move on to chapter 3, and we're going to hit another checkpoint here, and then we'll soon close as we're looking at this. In verse 6 of chapter 3, whosoever abideth Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. How do you deal with this scripture now? Now, those that believe that, and I believe in eternal security, if I could go ahead and say that this morning, I believe that when we do the things that John is writing here, if we believe and we follow the checkpoints, that we can be eternally secure in Christ Jesus. We don't have to be insecure. What I don't believe in this morning is unconditional, which means when you go to the altar as a child, at 6 years old or something, and you receive Jesus Christ, and then you live your life however you want to live the life from there on, you just go back to that experience, and you say, well, that's where I gave my heart to God. I think that's getting a little extreme there. Because notice what he's saying here. How do we deal with this here? Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this is a scripture. I don't have complete answers on it, but what he's, if you look at the word here in the Epistle of John here, there's actually two different words that are used for sin. The King James just defines them as one word, but we looked at the one in 1 John chapter 7, where it says that if any man sin, it's a missing the mark sin, not intentional. This one here is talking about intentional sin. If you say that you're a child of God, and you go out and you deliberately and willfully choose to sin, you're not a child of God. If you're a child of God, you have received Jesus Christ in your heart, God will not allow you to deliberately and go out and sin without reminding you of that sin. You're going to know it. The Holy Spirit's not going to let you do that. But people that go out and deliberately choose to do wrong cannot say that they're a child of God, regardless of the experiences they may have had. But that's what he says here. That he says that, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And he's talking about willful, intentional sin. So it hits us pretty hard, doesn't it? If you willfully, intentionally go out and deliberately do things that are against the Holy Spirit, against the commands of God, and you deliberately sin, don't call yourself a child of God. You need repentance. You need to come back to God. So John is not just giving us a blanket here of, I want you to be happy, I want you to be joyful, I want you to rejoice in everything. He's giving us checkpoints along the way. He says, yes, you can be confident. Yes, you can be filled with joy. But here are some checkpoints. Here are some things that you need to look at. Do I love the brethren? Do I really love people around me? Am I showing love to the church? Am I showing love to people around me that are maybe even difficult to love? Am I truly loving them as God would have me to love them? A checkpoint. Do I love the world more than I do the things of God? What comes first in my life? What do I put first? If I have to make a choice of doing something about of the things of God, helping someone, doing something for someone, being involved in something, or am I going to let the world affect me and draw me away from that? He said that's a checkpoint. And then the third one is the Holy Spirit. Am I obeying the Holy Spirit that speaks to me, that guides me and directs me? Or am I choosing to move away from them? Those are checkpoints that he has given to us. But when we do those things, he says we can have full and complete joy in our heart and confidence towards God the Father. And he says, but he that commits sin, he that does this deliberately, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He said he cannot intentionally sin. God's the Spirit is there, is what he's talking about. The Spirit's going to remind you of these things. He's not going to let you become deceived, because the Spirit is there to guide you and to lead you. And now I'm going to wrap this up and close here. Let's turn to chapter 5. If you care to turn, you don't have to, but I'm going to read chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And these things have I written unto you, that you believe in the name of the Son of God, and that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Let me read that again. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you're here this morning, and you've questioned, you know, if you've been kind of going through life, am I really a Christian? Am I really born again? Am I really saved? If I die, what's it going to be like? John is saying, I want you to know that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're walking in faith, you're walking in light, it doesn't matter. I think I can say this confidentially. It doesn't matter how much light you have right at this moment. You may be a new Christian. You may not really know that much about the Bible. But if you said those words, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. I recognize that I'm a sinner, that I need a Savior. And I recognize that You love me enough to send Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And I'm going to receive that salvation. And I'm going to walk in faith believing that You are a child of God. You can declare that. And God is going to give you more light. He's going to give you more truth. He's going to give you more. But He says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, relationship, one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unintentional sin. So yes, we make mistakes. And I'm not advocating that human crutch, that yes, we're just human, we'll make mistakes. But the fact is that we do. As long as we're on this earth, we're going to make some mistakes in life. It's because we didn't obey the Spirit is what happened. But those times happen. They get up on us and we do things or say things or think things that we wish we would not have had. At that point, the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us to the Father, and the Holy Spirit then comes and speaks to us, and then we make those corrections. And don't miss that point. Then we make those corrections. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it might be the end of the day, you know, my attitude wasn't right to that person. I didn't reply as I should have. Then we need to immediately, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we need to go and correct those things. That's something we don't hear a lot of anymore today, is repentance and making things right and going back. But if we do that, we continue our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in confidence towards Him. We have peace and joy in our heart. And we can have full joy as John intended for us to do that. May God bless you as you go on your journey. Walk in confidence. Walk in truth. And overcome the accuser of our brethren. That's who's out there. He's there. He's accusing us. He's trying to get in our mind. He's trying to say, did God really say? Does God really mean that? Well, look what you did, so you're not really a Christian. He brings all those things, the same accuser that John talked about back there in Revelation as he saw him. He said he accused the brethren day and night. He's continually doing that. But notice how they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb, recognizing that the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, forgave us our sins. He died for our sin. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, by speaking out what God has done. If you want to be an evangelist this morning, if you want to really share the gospel with people, just share with them what Jesus has done for you. Don't tell them all the things that they need to be doing, but just share what God has done for you. That I was a sinner. I had a horrible life. I had no peace and joy. When I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, He came in, and I'm filled with joy this morning. I'm confident. I can lay down and sleep and trust God. Just share your testimony. That's the way to be an evangelist. Don't tell them all the things they need to be doing, but share what God has done for you. And so they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the end. They didn't care about the things of the earth all that much. That wasn't all the important things in life. It was honoring God and looking forward to eternity with Him. Share your testimony. Overcome Satan. Overcome the accuser that's out there by the word of your testimony that I know what Jesus Christ has done for me. I know that my sins are under the blood, and Satan, you can't accuse me because I have a propitiation. I have an intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Satan, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but don't throw that stuff at me because I'm under the blood of Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and my Savior. He's there for me. He's interceding for me. He understands me, and I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to believe in Him, and I'm going to walk in faith. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Then I'll turn time back over to Tim. Tom. Father God, I want to thank You again this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I don't say that lightly, because if it was not for this time of the year, if it was not for the Christmas season, God, if it was not for a Savior, we would continue to be a sinner. We could not have the peace, the confidence, and the joy that we experience today. So God, I just thank You for all that You've done for us. God, I pray for the congregation here. I pray, God, that You would, as a body of believers, God, that we would just walk in truth, that we would not allow Satan, God, to accuse us before you. But we would claim the blood of Jesus, God, and we would rebuke him in the name of Jesus that we have been washed in the blood. And then, God, as you have given us checkpoints to look at, things along life, God, things that you expect from us now as your children, to help us to walk in that, to walk in the truth and the light that we have received from you. God, I just pray that as we live in this world that's seemingly becoming more and more corrupt around us, there's more and more evil things, God, help us to have our focus on eternity. Yes, we live in the world, as Jesus said, God, he didn't pray to take us out of the world, but God, he prayed that he would keep us from the world. And we know that with the Holy Spirit living within us, we have the power, we have the knowledge, we have the understanding to walk in the way that you want us to walk. We can walk in truth, God, and we thank you for the victory that we can receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, you may be.
Do you have something to say, Tommy?